This edition of Survivor Know-It-Alls is made possible in part when our listeners do their online holiday shopping with our link for Amazon.com. Save money with the best deals around on all of this year's top gifts and support Rob Has a Podcast when you go to Amazon through our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon.
They're the smartest guys around. They're about to break it down. Like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Survivor Know-It-Alls. Rob Sesternino coming to you live with the one and only Stephen Fishback. And I can't tell if Stephen is frozen or he's just making the same face.
I was hoping to create that. Rob, it's great. Happy Spreecast to you. Good to see you as always. You look great. I thought about it. I'm getting complaints. No Argyle sweater. I thought about wearing an Argyle sweater, but it's really hot in my apartment. I can't do it. It's too hot.
Why? Do you have the heat on too high, or is it a heat wave in New York?
Just this episode heated me up, Rob. It was just so overheated from all that was going on this week.
Okay, good. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We've gotten down to the final five people on Survivor Philippines. Only one Wednesday night left to go. Can you believe it, Stephen? Crazy. Where has this season gone? Already the calendar has turned to December. We're down to the final five, and who knows where we go from here. Carter goes home. A little predictable, as we kind of figured. Carter was probably going to go home before Abby Maria, and maybe we get a little bit of a swing at the final five. We're not going to hold our breath, but it could be an interesting final four shaping up for, and perhaps a return to the final two on finale night.
Yeah, I was surprised that, down to its five next week and then four. At the end of the episode, I thought, like, is this Sunday the finale? I was confused for a second because I expected the five to go into the finale. I guess the medevac affected that. I was surprised by that, kind of excited. There's not really a favorite, is there? There's Malcolm is, hands down favorite if he gets to the end. But, apart from Malcolm, there's no sense of like this guy has got it all wrapped up.
Yeah. And so we're coming live here on Spreecast. We have a ton of people watching us live as we do every week. We appreciate you guys coming and hanging out with us after the episode. Send us your questions. We will take a ton of them during this show. Maybe some video questions at the end of the episode if you guys are good or if we have time. One or the other. They're not mutually exclusive. And so, Stephen, let's jump into it on this episode. And I got to tell you, I'm a little annoyed at my Survivor coming out of this episode because I don't understand why in Survivor 25 there's not a player left in this game that is trying to, or is not at least on the surface completely conflicted about, but do I do what's better for me in the game or do I do what I know is right in my heart? And Stephen, I ask shouldn't those two things be one and the same?
It's insane. And I mean, I believe, for me, Lisa is the most annoying player in the history of the TV show. Now, there have been people I have really disliked. I didn't like Jason Siska. I didn't really have a good reason for that, but something about his face.
Yes.
Lisa has to be the most irritating player in the history of the show. And the thing she said to her brother, like, I could have played a great game if I wanted, like, great. That's like way to go, for hypothetical situations.
Yeah. Did you find the Lisa and her brother relationship a bit odd?
Well, there definitely the fact that she called him brother was strange.
Yes.
You know, I thought that he was like her gay best friend or something. He just had that sort of like stylish look to him. He didn't look, you know, didn't look necessarily like her brother.
Yeah.
He looked like he was 20 years younger than her, for one thing.
We don't know. You know, they did add that kid on in like the last season of Facts of Life, too. So you never know what's going to happen. But, Steven, did you feel like was that reaction over the top, too, from Lisa? You know, these family reactions are hard to figure. I've been there. You've gone through it, too. You definitely miss the person. But could it be a coincidence that the most dramatic reunion that we've ever seen between the family members as Lisa pops over my shoulder? Is it possible that the most dramatic reunion happened with the professional actress that's on the show?
Could
those two things be somehow connected?
You mean because actors and actresses feel much more deeply than the rest of us?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they're more in touch with their inner emotions, and maybe that's what they draw on that. Yes.
I think the other big one, you know, obviously that I remember was Taj in my season, who was also a performer. And I do think there's probably that sense of like unfiltered emotion, you know, from a performer being, being a valuable commodity.
Yeah. But we'll see. I don't understand, Stephen, that, you know, it's one thing that we're talking, you know, we're kind of bagging on Lisa, that she's like, okay, I don't know what to do. And we've been on her since last week about that. But I'm not even annoyed about Lisa. I'm not even annoyed about Scoopin. I'm annoyed about Malcolm. How about that?
What?
Malcolm, I'm annoyed about.
No.
I'm annoyed about Denise. Like, why is there any decision whatsoever that they're like, oh, man, I don't know what to do. Oh, you do what is going to help you win the game.
But Malcolm is playing like that. How is Malcolm now? I mean, Malcolm, like, gave them the bait. You know, he gave them the confessional that's like, maybe I could go either way. But come on, there's no question that Malcolm is going to do the thing that is better for his game. He's going to eliminate the other young guy who is a threat. You know, people get good. You know, production asks you the question. They want you to give them, like, the either-or so they can create drama. I agree with you. Someone like Lisa, irritating. Possibly Denise, irritating. But I think Malcolm was on the money.
I don't know. When Malcolm is saying things like, well, if Abby Maria gets voted out tonight, it's going to be because she's a bitch. Now, is that is he making that up for the camera? Anyway, if Abby Maria gets voted out tonight, it's going to be not because she's a bitch. That's why she stayed in the game, because she's a bitch and you feel like you can beat her at the end.
But do you think, I mean, Malcolm has never made a personal decision like that. You know, even on Matt Singh, he was keeping people who he found personally dislikable, like Russell Swan, in spite of people whose company he preferred, like Angie, because he knew that the ultimate goal was to get to the end and win. Now, obviously, day 33, the bonds are stronger, the feelings are more personal. But I still think that was a softball for the cameras. You know, Malcolm was venting. I hate this girl. He was also given the either or scenario. I don't think Malcolm is making those decisions based on personal feelings.
All right, how about Carter too? I mean, what planet is this guy on that he's expecting people to keep him in the game? Because why? Because he's good in challenges? That's the number one reason why they should get rid of him. There, it was no reason to keep him in the game. Keep him in the game because he probably can't win in the final two because he hasn't done one thing since he's been there. But, I mean, what planet is Carter on?
See, I thought Carter, I love Carter. Everything Carter does to me seems smart. I know Carter appeals, Carter appears like a dumb surfer dude, but I think he's actually like a very savvy guy. And I thought Carter was smart to appeal to their sense of obligation to these things they have said. You know, it's like going to coach and saying, I thought we were all warriors, man. What about the Warrior Alliance? You know, you've got to sort of make these people like put their morals where their mouths are. You know, Denise had that whole spiel about we want the strong to go to the end. Denise is like Coach 2.0. You know, big a lot of talk from Denise, very little action.
But Stephen, what you're saying is sort of like premeditated thought. What Carter is saying is sort of like, you know, hey man, what happened? I thought you were gonna keep me in the game because I was good and, you know, and I haven't done anything bad, so I don't understand why you'd vote me out of the game because I just felt like
Wait a second. Cool
like that.
Are you saying Carter is not like the strategic mastermind of the season? Is that what you're getting at?
No, everybody seems to say Carter is a great guy. Heck of a guy. I've even heard about Carter. So when I talk to him tomorrow,
heck of a guy. Was that supposed to be like? What cold comfort? You know, like my mom is leaving. She didn't get chosen, but heck of a guy. You know,
heck of a guy, Carter.
Yeah.
Carter just gets screwed left and right, but everybody is just like, hey, yay for Carter. He got us a veal roast. all right, let's take this question.
Yeah, he does everything. Yeah.
He's everybody's favorite. From Mike Phillips, he wants to know, is this the first time we've ever seen a loved one give strategy advice? Lisa's brother definitely gave her something to think about, and she would have followed through to vote out Malcolm if he hadn't won immunity. And absolutely not. This is not the first time. This is actually becoming an epidemic on Survivor that the family member comes to visit, and they, all of a sudden they're starting to like wheel and deal like it's their show.
Well, even in Marquesas, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien's son was talking strategy with her. And, you know, I think probably it happens a lot more than is shown. I mean, certainly in my season, you know, that's all we did. You know, we talked camp life a little bit, and then it was like you got down to strategy.
Yeah.
And I actually had a very similar experience to the experience that that Lisa had. I mean, obviously it was slightly different, but at the time I had felt actually morally conflicted about the possibility of voting out JT, and then the appearance of my brother and his counsel reminded me, as Malcolm noticed with Lisa, it reminded me of like what the actual important goals are. And I wonder how often that happens.
Yeah, I think what the time that this happens is if you spend like the day with the loved one, that's where it sort of pops up. I mean, I can remember a lot of instances. Sean Hance is really probably the most iconic one where he comes in and it starts like, I described him as like the little league dad that he's going up to the coach at the time and saying like, hey man, my kid can pitch. How come he's not out there on the mound? What are you doing? This is my kid. You got to get him out there, coach. What are you doing? I don't want you taking advantage of my kid. But I can remember in Survivor Thailand, I remember Helen with her husband talking strategy. Oh, what are you going to do next? Can you trust this Brian guy? So it has gone back for a long time that this happens when the survivors have a chance to be alone with their loved ones. But you make a great point that it reminds them of, oh, yeah, I have a life outside of Survivor. I was a normal person once. And one day I'll be a normal person again, and I'll have a house and furniture and clothes and go to work. And yes, oh, money is important. I forgot. I've just been currency is like rice and coconuts to me. I forgot $1 million is really important.
And I think any situation where you're with like a group of people for even a short amount of time, you start to take on the hierarchy and the relationships within those groups. I remember I was in like a bus tour of Israel for a week, and I started to like care about what the other people on the bus tour thought of me. You know, it's like you just immediately start to adopt this group dynamic. We're just dirty apes, you know? We're all just like filthy primates, just like, you know, establishing a pecking order.
Wow, Stephen, you really not only summed up Survivor but life so well. No wonder you're a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's why I'm here, you know?
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
So, Steven,
but what do you think? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, ask your question.
Is there a more frustrating contestant in the history of the show than Lisa Welchel?
I mean, I'm not finding her frustrating because at least she was going to make a move. She finally did get talked into going after Malcolm, which I thought was the good move for them to make. So I was not frustrated. I was, you know, I feel like she is just like you were annoyed with Penner last week, where you felt like he was over hamming it up. I don't always appreciate the over hamminess of Lisa, to which the editors really, oh, let's cue the dramatic music. Like, she gives them the, you know, the, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. Like, you know, she does the whole thing. And then we get the, you know, count the number of dramatic music cues we had underneath Lisa's confessionals in this game tonight. You know, that gets on my nerves a little bit.
I totally agree. I mean, and you're probably right that it's partially hamminess. And I wonder if it's also to a certain degree, like, once you start down that path of that being your defining story arc, then you kind of I mean, this might be a little bit too psychological, but like, then the producers start to expect that of you and you internalize it. And so you're always thinking of this, you've set this sort of problem for yourself, and then you can sort of never get out of it. Anyway, that might be a little bit too, you know.
Yes, but in this, you know, going back to Penner and the storyteller and what is the story that you're telling, it's almost like now Lisa is saying, the story I'm telling is I'm this good person that's on Survivor that was true to my word, but now I've started to realize that if I play the way I know I should, I can win this game, even though it's against my moral obligations. But what's good is when you start to bring God into the mix, here's like, hey, well, you know, I've got to do what I've got to do. And if that's what God wants, then it'll happen. And it really wasn't even me, because God made me do this. And so it was God. God did it. I didn't stab you in the back. It was God, and apparently, Stephen, God did not want Malcolm to get voted out this week.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, at least Lisa is not, you know, I mean, you compare Lisa with someone like Coach in Survivor South Pacific, who would pretend to pray and then just use that prayer as like an excuse to do whatever he really wanted. Oh, God wants me to betray Brandon. Nothing I can do. I prayed. So, you know, he would pretend to like seek, you know, immediate consult with God. At least Lisa has like the, you know, the humility to not do that.
Yeah, Coach was praying to God to help him find idols that he already had to try to trick Brandon. Like, God, help us and help us find the idol that it's hidden so well. God, please. Jeff Spence. He
good
wants
question,
to know,
Jeff. I thought about this.
You're gonna read this.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Spence, Rob, wants to know, why couldn't Lisa and Scoopin have voted out Denise? That would have cut off Malcolm at the knees. No knee sucking possible?
Interesting. You know, I was trying to think about a lot of the different dynamics that could have happened, and I kind of feel like, I mean, obviously they could have voted out Denise. I don't know why they didn't want to do that. I know that Malcolm had the idol and they got to get rid of Malcolm, and they seemed very concerned about the idol more so than Denise, but it seems just as good to me to vote out Denise.
I think, I don't know. The reason my thought was Malcolm is definitely safe next week, right? So voting out Denise this week just radicalizes Malcolm against them. So next week, Malcolm will make an alliance with Carter and Abby Maria to vote them out because they've taken out their ally. Whereas this week, if they brought over Carter, I mean, I just think that, you know, next week Malcolm has a lot of power because he has the idol, whereas Denise won't necessarily have that same power.
Yeah.
Malcolm is the bigger threat, right? Presumably at the end. Yeah.
That's a fair point. Now, on the other hand, does it make sense at all? And I was thinking this during the episode. Does it make sense at all for Malcolm and Denise to vote out Lisa or Scoopin at this point?
No, they're both great jury goats, right? Like, everyone is annoyed with Lisa, just like we're annoyed with Lisa. You know, you can see that they're desperate for her to just start playing the game. And you know, after every tribal council, she comes back whining about her morals. Like, she's the perfect person to take to the end. And Scoopin too, you know, Scoopin has been on the outs with everybody from the beginning. And, you know, you've certainly seen with your show, every single person who's interviewed hates Scoopin for some, like, mystery reason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and actually, the more I'm thinking about it, no, that would not be a good move to do, because if, let's say, Malcolm and Denise take out Lisa, now if Scoopin' is pissed, he can join with Abby Maria and Carter. Not that, you know, Abby Maria and Carter might be smart enough to say, hey, we're a twosome, whether we want to be or not. Grab Scoopin', and now they have a three-person majority against the two. But couldn't that same thing happen if once they blindside Malcolm, take him out of the game, then can't Denise grab Carter and Abby Maria and say, hey, let's vote out Lisa and Scoopin next, and let's go to the final three?
I just think that, you know, there's obviously a ton of bad blood between Abby Maria and Denise. You know, that seems to be like a significant part of the show, to the extent that Jeff even asked about it, and Denise couldn't, like, deny it. And then you also have the natural kind of alliance between Carter and Malcolm. I just think that Malcolm has more leverage there to work Carter and Abby Maria than does Denise.
Am I totally wrong about this? But didn't the previews last week imply that Malcolm's brother was going to say something that was going to raise the ire of the other tribe mates? Did I totally misinterpret that last week?
No, I mean, but it's the preview. The preview was always completely misleading. There has been like one instance in the history of the show where the preview was something that was like directly, I think it was like Troyzan's boot or something. Like, there was one time, and every single other time it is 100% misleading.
But why mislead me and tell me, like, oh, and then next week, Malcolm's brother is going to say something that's going to get everybody in the tribe pissed off. And then that didn't even happen. I don't understand why mislead me on that.
I mean, it's just like in their nature, you know, like the Survivor editors have internalized the ethos of Survivor into misleading you. You know, all they know is deception.
I guess so. Maybe the loony ones, as they do it to piss you off, Rob. Well, mission accomplished. Because I spent 10 minutes yesterday on a live show trying to figure out what Malcolm's brother could say. I thought my best guess was that he made a homophobic remark, and that everybody was like, hey, not cool. Not cool, Malcolm's brother.
Except Lisa jumped on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Here's what... Do you think that Malcolm made the right decision? Now, obviously it didn't work out for him because Lisa and Scoopin were going to turn on him. But did Malcolm make the right decision? Results, not considering the results.
We don't know them.
In bringing Lisa and Scoopin. No, I mean, like, even this episode. Did Malcolm make the right decision in bringing Lisa and Scoopin for a family visit?
Oh, okay. Well, let's break this down. You know... First off, I gotta say, I hate that there's the ask for another one. Why don't you ask for another one? And then, okay, fine, all right, cool. Let's have another person. Why? Why do they give them two people? I mean, I guess it pisses off the other people even more.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't pick me again.
I think that's what it is.
Again, he had two people to pick, and he didn't pick me. so I guess.
Did you have to? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, but if it's
so you thought it was a good call?
Go ahead.
You thought it was a good decision bringing Malcolm?
I didn't even get to that yet. I didn't even get to that. I just am mad that Jeff Probst is letting these survivors walk all over him and let them bring two people. He said, well, you get one person.
So Nick, let's Nasty, talk about is it. Asking the same question. I'm not getting rid of it.
So... Steven, I guess, you know, there is no right or wrong answer to this, but it's an age-old question on Survivor. Do you bring the people with you on a reward that are already your allies, or do you bring the people with you that are sort of at the bottom that you need to keep in there and sort of incentivize, hey, remember, I'm the guy that hooked you up with that thing, remember? Whatever it is, whether it's, hey, you got pretzels because of me, remember that? Or you saw your mom because of that. Because people are inevitably going to be pissed. Is it better to piss off your allies or piss off people who are have a better chance to defect anyway?
It seems like it's so situational and so personality driven. And that there are some people who are going to be like, you didn't take my reward, I'm flipping on you, you know, screw you. And I think we saw that last season, right? I don't remember who it was. There was something that Kim didn't take someone on, or maybe it was Kat. And then there was another example you know, and then there are other people who are like, you know, I'm glad he didn't take Min Reward. We need to like stick to the plan, you know? So it seems just like such a person by person decision. But ultimately, I think that Malcolm's move in taking the tenuous people in your alliance, like Lisa and Scoopin, has got to be the smartest move. You're reinforcing those loose bonds. Now, obviously, that didn't work out
for
him because then that brother of hers,
he really screwed everything up.
Sort of flips.
So. Yeah, here's the thing that people think it's like, whoa, I'm in a great position. This is such a windfall for me because now I get to pick people and give them the reward, and now I'm Santa Claus, and now people are they're going to be so indebted to me that they're going to vote for me in the end. They're gonna want to keep me to the end, and it does. None of these things happen. Malcolm gave Scoopin and Lisa their family visit, and then they met with their family members and plotted how to vote out Malcolm. Like that, there was
well,
no.
Here's what I don't understand.
Say that
what
one more
I don't
time?
Get is like why Malcolm wasn't hanging out with them. Like, what a huge mistake! Like, you had, you know, Lisa and Scoopin and their family off on one part of the beach, and everyone else on the other part. And yes, there was like a religious component to it. They were praying together. But like, Malcolm should have been like, hey, I want to pray with you guys. Teach me about your religion. I mean, what an opportunity for him to integrate himself into that group.
Yes.
And like, by being separate from them, like, he was just very, you know, he was isolating himself.
Yeah. I think the move is, in that situation, never win a reward challenge. It is all, there's only misery and pain. Be the person that gets brought on the reward challenge. Never win a reward challenge yourself. More harm than good.
That was my biggest I thought that was my biggest mistake when I played Token Chains, is that I won a reward. I won that reward, basically, like the pick your friends reward. And you know, sometimes you just want to win. You know, sometimes you're like, I'm tired of losing everything. I want to win something.
Yeah. No, it's tough because then you have to pick your friends. And then, you know, I think that Malcolm probably did make the right move because there was nothing to be gained by giving Carter or Abby Maria their visit. Denise, he screwed her over. She didn't care. She's still his ally anyway. So he did make the right decision. It's just a no-win situation. It's a real Kobayashi Maru, Steven.
Is that the second time you've like made that reference? In, like,
yes,
the,
and nobody picked, nobody even mentioned it the first time, so I figured I would bring it back.
keep it up, yeah.
It's a no-win situation. What are you going to do? All right, let's take some questions. Let's take some questions. We've got a ton of questions
for
you guys live.
Okay.
All right, here we go, Steve. What do you say?
Michael Norris wants to know, how awkward was it in the Scoopin' living room tonight when he said his oldest son was the best human being in the world?
Yeah, you see, those are one of those things that you say on TV that sounds good in the room, but then it's a problem when you get back home and there's like six other kids that are like, hey, what's up with that?
I bet Scoopin' is very clear. I bet Scoopin' has got all his kids ranked. Everyone knows their place in the Scoopin' tribe, you know? They're all jockeying for position. You know, Scoopin' raised those kids with a survivor mentality, and everyone wants to, like, move up a spot.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm understanding Mike more and more. I just feel like, you know, Mike is just, you know, if he sees it, he has to have it. You know, whatever is in front of him, you know, he's just going to be, you know, the most excited guy in the world for it. And then
that's great.
I mean, just go back to last week with that. Like, all right, here's some wine. I'm in. Vote for, I want it. It's like, wait, we didn't even tell you what it is yet. We don't even know.
Yeah.
So that's I think that's really Mike in a nutshell. It's just like, you know, goes after it, and there's no stopping him from, you know, whatever he's going to go after.
There's a pig, he wants the pig. There's a fire, he's got to get in the fire. You know, anything that's in front of him, he wants to go for it.
Very, just impulsive, overly impulsive, Mike Scoopin. I think that's really probably the best way to describe. James wants to know, do you think Abby is losing challenges on purpose so people would take it to the end? Steven, did you find that any intentional motivation? No.
No. No, James, no.
No. What would be the point?
Yeah. Don's Bread wants to know, am I the only one who wants a TV staring AB's mom? I believe the question is, am I the only one who wants a TV show starring Abby's mom? Well, Don's Bread, I tweeted this an hour ago, and I think you might have even favorited my tweet, so let's not say you're the only one.
You want, Steven, you want a TV show starring Abby Maria's mom?
Yeah, I think she was amazing. I want a TV show like just with Abby Maria's mom.
Why?
Just
what did she do?
The whole coconut challenge, like, that was just phenomenal with, like, the tossing, like, no, you have to try hard. It was just great. Like, she was getting, she was like, couldn't throw it. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. Mark Full wants to know, Carter should have promised to throw the next immunity challenge if they kept him around. Wondering what the thoughts are from Rob and Steven. Okay, first off, that now this implies that Carter has some sense of strategy in the game. And Carter's whole selling point is that, hey, man, you got to keep me around because I'm going to try my hardest in the challenges. And so if Carter starts saying, hey, man, I'm going to throw a challenge if you keep me around next week, so we might as well. So, that, I mean, I'll let you guys get back to what you were talking about because obviously you're talking about voting me out. So... then go, you know, get back to that. I know that's a very important conversation to have. Wow. Steven, how does he come up and they say, we're just talking about voting, whether we're going to vote you out tonight or not. And how does he walk away from that conversation?
I couldn't believe that was surprising to me. That was really surprising that he would walk up and they'd be like, oh yeah, we're talking about voting you out. Like that was kind of like, I felt like that revealed something about the tenor of this season that we haven't even really seen yet. Which is just how forthright everybody is with each other. And there was another moment, too, when Penner came up on Scoopin' and Lisa.
Yes.
And she was like, yep, well, we're talking about you. Like, who says that? Like, what? Nope, you're good. You're good, buddy. Everything's fine. You're totally with us. We're getting out Abby tonight. You know, like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was a great moment when Penner came up. And then he had said to Scoopin', he said, well, I would suggest that you should win the idol tonight because I'm gonna win immunity in the challenge and stick it in your face. Yeah.
I'm glad we found a way to get that back in here. I'm glad we found a way to get the Penner interpretation back into the show.
Lucas Farr wants to know, were you surprised none of the loved ones knew who Lisa was? Well, who do we want to know who Lisa is? Mike Scoopin Jr., no. Malcolm's brother, no. Maybe Denise's husband. Denise and her husband. Wouldn't you want to see Denise's husband just carry Denise around, like in like on his back, like or in like one of those things that you put like a baby in that goes on the a papoose? Is that what it's called, Steven? Wouldn't you want to see that?
Yeah, I like that. He's just like there's so much inside this tight body.
Whoa,
he really was. He was towing the line there a little bit. But I thought I was surprised. Maybe they know already. You know, maybe they know who Lisa is, and it was just like never a thing on television. Because like Penner knew, and Scoopin knew, and like, you know, I don't believe that they don't necessarily all know at this point.
Yeah, maybe it might just not be part of the story. It would be funny though if like in some other country, like the Facts of Life is like just airing now in Brazil, and Abby Maria's mom, oh, it's Blair, it's Blair, Senorita Garrett. That would be pretty hilarious.
That'd be pretty good.
If somehow international superstar Lisa Welchel. But who knows? All right, keep firing away with some questions.
We've exhausted this episode.
Yes. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Okay. Final fives. So Steven and I were talking about before we came on tonight, what are we going to do after the finale? You want to make this official, Steven?
Sure. Yeah. I'll make it official.
All right. Yes. Let's make it official.
I'll do that thing that you're saying.
Survivor Know-It-Alls, let's do it live after the finale. I was debating whether or not I should go to the live finale, but let's do it, Steven. This is where I should be. These are my people. We should be here breaking down who the winner of Survivor Philippines, taking it live. Why not, right, Steven?
Well, why these people are saying that you should go, but I don't understand why your listeners want you to go to the finale. I don't get that. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, I feel like let's do our live reaction and get hear from you guys what you guys think after we have the winner crowned on the new season. So why not? Yeah. Let's
do it. I'm very excited about it. You know.
Yeah, I'll meet up with everybody afterwards. But you know, this is where we belong. We need to be recapping the finale live, Stephen.
It's our destiny.
It's our destiny. Our density.
What else, Rob? Well, I felt like more happened in this episode than we've really discussed.
Well, there
we started with the
Wasn't a ton of strategic decisions. There was like the whole conversation about we should vote out Malcolm, and then that was sort of a moot point. And then there was, you know, the whole Carter Abby Maria decision. And I guess, Stephen, what do you make of Abby Maria and her bluffery and her decisions to try to antagonize the tribe? I mean, it seems like it's working.
I love that. I just love that they don't even like, no one thinks, you know, like nobody thinks she has the idol. You know, there's like no sense that maybe she has it. Like there's not even like, well, just in case, I guess we should like throw a vote, you know, somewhere else. It's like, no, she clearly doesn't have it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two ways to play the idol. I think you have either the, hey, everybody, got the immunity idol, so just so you all know, I have it. And so, you know, we'll call that the Russell Hance. Right. Malcolm has done that this season, got this idol here, so you can vote for me, but I'm going to play it. Or there's the say nothing, I don't have the idol. But there is no third thing where it's like, I have the idol, but I can't show it to you. But if you vote for me, I'm going to play it. So you better not vote for me, because if you do, then you'll be the voted out one, I think. I think that's how it works. So you cannot get me.
Sandra did finesse this maneuver, right? Like, she did the third thing, which was put it in her pocket and pretend, make people think she had it.
No, she did the second thing.
I mean, she didn't have it.
She had it. It didn't say anything to anybody. I think Rupert put something in his pocket and then
made people think
that he had the idol. But that's still, maybe that's a third thing where you convincingly sell that you have the idol, but you don't go around saying like, I have an idol in my pocket, but I can't show it to you. You know, you can let other people think you're bluffing and
Boston Rob like with the idol?
What did he do with the idol? Yeah. Well, he eventually said, hey, I've got the idol. You can't vote me out. So there. Just so you know, I have it. He did the first thing eventually. They didn't show it on the show, but he did do the first thing of, you know, telling everybody he had the idol. But it wasn't part of the show.
Remind me about Russell Hance. What was the Russell Hance one again? Can we walk through that a little bit?
He said, I have the idol. You can't vote me out. I'm Russell Hance. I have an idol, bitch. Yes. Troy Cockrum wants to know, do you think Abby believes that she has Jeff fooled into believing she has the idol? Has Abby Maria fooled even Jeff Probst?
No. Does Abby think that she has Jeff fooled? Like, that's...
Yes.
Does Abby think she is fooling these people? Like, that's the real question. Like, what's going on in Abby's mind?
She thinks she has everybody fooled.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think she thinks she has everyone fooled.
Yes, absolutely. In Abby's mind, she is like playing the greatest Survivor game of all time. She has just been like the total, I am the puppet master. I'm manipulating. I'm lying. I'm bluffing. I have the fourth idol baby. She is just, you know, all over the place. Kevin wants to know, is Abby the swing vote at Final Five, or are we going to see another Final Four like Jenna, Rupert, Rob, and Amber? What happens then? Now, I do believe Abby Maria is the swing vote here. Will either of the twosomes pull the trigger on that, though?
I just can't. Like, in my mind, I mean, I think it would make sense for Scoopin and Lisa to bring Abby to the finals. But Abby has votes, you know, like maybe Pete will vote for her. Maybe artists will vote for her.
Yeah,
you know,
better.
Maybe Jeff Kent will throw a vote her way. You know, like I think that Abby actually has like some votes that she could get. But I mean, she's definitely less of a threat than is Malcolm or Denise. And so it would make sense for Scoopin' and Lisa to go that way. Definitely does not make sense for Denise and Malcolm to go that way.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll see what happens. Again, I don't want to. Now I'm like, I touched the hot stove with the previews, and now I can't believe anything. I might as well just not even watch them because, you know, it's just going to confuse me more.
Not if you're trying to get reliable information. How long have you been watching this show for?
I know.
13 years, my God.
I just feel like in the previews they would show you something that's going to actually be a preview, not just here's video out of context from next week's episode, you know,
not just out of context but deliberately misleading, the exact opposite of what is going to happen.
Yes, Leonardo Zabuela is reporting this just in. FYI, Abby's mom is a big celebrity here in Brazil as a Real Housewife hashtag bueno, one of the Real Housewives of Brazil. Oh no.
That could be true, right?
I guess so.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, Steven, you want to check in with Ian Terry?
Yeah, why not? Let's see what he's got. Has he figured out that Malcolm and Denise are together? That's my question. Does he know now what the alliance pairs are?
See, now I feel like you don't have Cochran here. Now you're picking on Ian.
That's all I got. I got some, you know, nerd super fan. You know, I got to do it, you know, got to establish my dominance.
Ian, how are you?
Yeah. How's it going?
Very good. Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
How about yourself? Yes, we're doing
really
doing
good.
Now, Ian, do you find?
Ian, I have to say. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Do you find Lisa as disagreeable as Steven does?
Yes. She's really, really annoying at this point for me. I don't like her at all. I hate the little angelic music they play every single time it shows her talking. God has never successfully picked a winner in all seasons of Survivor dating back to Borneo.
Wait, how do you know?
He had Gretchen for that.
Successfully picks them.
I talked to him. He had Gretchen in Borneo. I think he had Roger in the season. He's never picked it right.
Yeah. Well, God picked Gretchen to win the first favorite. Survivor?
Yeah,
God picked Gretchen, actually.
Oh, my God. He must have been pissed. He must have been shocked.
He was really mad about that alliance there at the merge.
Yeah. Now, if God is watching the show, is he rooting for the game in real time? Like, is he rooting for the game as it happens, or is God rooting for people on the TV show of the game?
God has spoilers. He's rooting in real time.
Yeah. For God, he has like the live feeds of Big Brother. He gets to watch it like he's got like super pass, like the four cameras of all the tribes
God
and everything
is the
that's
only
going on.
With super pass for Survivor.
Yeah,
God did not pick Dan.
Please don't.
Would super pass be like?
Don't get.
A good thing
don't bring up
life?
God and Dan, Ian. Yeah,
I don't get it.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't get this joke.
Yeah. Yeah, because, yes. So God does not have a rooting interest. Ian, did God want you to win Big Brother, or did God want Dan to win Big Brother?
He actually didn't want either of us. God's pick from the start was actually Shane.
Oh, Ashley was God's pick on Big Brother? Oh, my God.
No, Shane.
Oh,
Shane was God's pick.
Oh, actually Shane. Oh, I thought it was like Ashley Shane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shane. No, he's so handsome.
Yeah. So
he's
Ian,
very
who,
handsome. I would have picked him too.
Yes.
Who is God rooting for this season then?
On Survivor?
Yes.
I think he had Jeff Kent.
Oh. Is God a Giants fan?
Great pick.
No, God just kind of picks randomly. I mean, like I said, he had Roger your year, so maybe he just picks the most obnoxious people.
He picked Roger Sexton. I thought you were talking about Roger Bingham that was God's pick. Oh, who knew?
No.
Yes, okay.
Wow. I know some of these people. Yeah.
Beating a dead horse here.
Beating a dead horse. So, Ian, do you see Abby Maria making it to the final three. Do you see her pairing up with one of these two twosomes?
No. No, I don't. I think she's being set up to be voted out next.
All right, let's talk about it. Predict now. Who do you think is going to win?
Scooping.
Scooping?
Okay. Like Scooping.
You know,
all right, why? Why is anyone – who's voting for Scooping?
I think it's going to end up being Lisa, Scoopin, and say Denise in the finals.
Why?
And I think Lisa's going to be set up for third place, because I really don't think that her edit is going to lead to a win.
I don't see how in that final three Denise loses. I mean, like, just based on the personalities in that group, I just can't see. But I think Malcolm is going to win. I believe Malcolm will win. I think Malcolm right now, he's guaranteed Final Four. He's easily the challenge, the biggest challenge beast in that group, and very well could win that final immunity.
It's Edgick.
But Edgick, Malcolm has got to have the dominant. I haven't been following Edgick this season, but Malcolm has got to have the dominant Edgick edit. He is consistently shown to be playing a smart, savvy, self-interested game. There's no way that any of those other people have a better Edgick edit than Malcolm does.
And I'll stick with Denise.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll stick with Denise. She was my pick from the get-go. But the thing that blows me away is sometimes I think about it and it's like, I can't believe somebody, one of these five people is going to be the 25th winner of Survivor. It just, it felt like all season long it was a coronation for Kim, but it does feel weird that one of these people is going to win the game.
But you could see Malcolm winning, right? Like, Malcolm has played just like from the very beginning, from like day one. When he was working it with Russell Swan, you know, when he was like letting Russell make fire, I think that Malcolm has been a strategic force.
No, I think Malcolm is a huge distraction.
Distraction.
Yes.
Let's put money on this. I'm willing to bet against Scoopin winning this show. Are you willing to put money for it?
I had a bad day at the casino today, but yes, I would.
Oh no!
All right, we'll pick a number. We'll pick a number.
Did you blow all your Big Brother money today?
No, I did not.
Okay, good. Good to hear.
Let's make it a. We'll say just $5.
All right,
$5.
I'm good with that. Yeah, $5 and a letter. Yes. Well, Rob, do you want to get out of this action?
No, I don't want to bet on Survivor. I think that okay. Damages me as a podcaster if I'm betting. I only bet on things like shaving my head and stuff like that. I don't do any. I don't want to put any money on Survivor.
But just to clarify, Ian is betting Scoopin will win. I am betting Scoopin will not win.
Oh, you got the field?
That's what we said.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. $5. It's $5.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Yes, I don't want to get banned from Survivor for life for betting on Survivor, a la Pete Rose.
Oh, and how about that immunity challenge? I think Jeff Probst's comments tonight were great to Abby. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes, Corey wants to. Did Jeff? Whoa, very, very quick comment. But yes, Jeff Probst had to have known what he was doing when he's talking about you'll have to erect your pole. And then once you get your pole long enough, then you will be able to hit the target. Yeah. Tonight, Jeff was like, he's got to be like, cracking up in between takes on that.
But do you, to Ian's point, like, though, do you think, you were saying that you thought he was like out of line with what he said to Abby, like the way he was like criticizing her? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jeff did seem besides himself about Abby Maria. I don't really know why. It did seem like she was half-assing the challenge, but Jeff did really did get pissed off about that. You got the sense he really liked it last week when Abby Maria won the immunity challenge.
I mean, thought it was really funny because, here he is just completely insulting this chick who's doggy paddling in the freaking ocean. It was hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah.
She really was making no effort.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
Yeah. Well, Ian, you've made your bet with Stephen Fishback. You've given us who God is rooting for all the seasons of Survivor. I think that's some good work for tonight, and we'll check in next week.
All right. See you next week.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye.
I'll see you.
Yep.
All right. There you go, Ian Terry betting on Survivor. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about the betting against Scoobin here.
If I had that bet,
but I don't think he's got the edge that.
I would take the field against anybody. If you took one person and I took four, I would feel good about that no matter who I took. Yeah.
Even if it was against your favorite, even if it was against Denise.
Yeah, I'm no loyal. I know Denise is like this terrific person, all in some tight little package. But you know, I'd fit against her if you gave me everybody else. You know, I'm not a zealot. Let's take a couple more questions and then start to wrap this up. Closing in on an hour here on the Survivor Know It Alls.
So much knowledge.
Tyler says, Rob, do you think the family moment is the best part of the show Survivor? I would say
this question isn't for me, Rob.
Yes. I would say, Stephen, it is a very good moment, but I don't think it's the best part of the show Survivor. I think the best part of the show Survivor is the strategy and the window into the human condition that we get to see each and every week, Stephen. That's what I think is the best thing about Survivor, not the family visit.
Do you get teary-eyed during the family visit?
I do not get teary-eyed when other people have their family visit. I would be teary-eyed if I was having a family visit.
I actually get teary-eyed at the family visit. Almost every family visit, I get a little bit emotional. When I see the people running out and the music swells and everyone just breaks down.
It's a good moment.
It brings me back to,
It's a good moment. Yeah, actually, 10 years ago yesterday was my family visit in the Amazon. I was talking about that with my mom the other day. And yes, 10 years ago yesterday. And I think maybe 10 years ago tonight, I think I'm going to get voted out of the game. So, or 10 years ago tomorrow, 10 years ago from yesterday, and a week forward, so 6 days from now. That's very confusing.
Wow, what a milestone! How does it feel?
Yes. Silver Coyote says, Stephen, who was Courtney's family visit in Heroes vs. Villains? Was it you, Stephen?
No, they talked about the possibility of it being me, but ultimately they went with an actual family member of her.
Yes.
Of hers. I think it was going to be her dad or her brother or something. I don't remember exactly who. But obviously at the time, they thought about it. But I think then since then, at the time they felt that it was unfair if a past survivor came back because they might meddle with the game. But obviously since then they've relaxed the rules with the whole Sean Vance thing and all that.
But they've never had a former survivor come and be the loved one on a new edition of Survivor. That has still never happened, which is kind of amazing to think after 25 seasons that it's never happened.
I really wanted to be JT's loved one more than I wanted to be Courtney's loved one, just because I thought it would be really funny.
That would be funny. Let's see. Who you want to make a prediction? Who is going to be the first survivor loved one to visit a survivor? Do we want to take bets on this too?
Probably Rob visiting Amber.
Boston Rob, that would be good. It's like Amber, let's bring out your husband, Rob. Hey guys, how's it going? That'd be good.
It's definitely maybe Russell visiting Brandon Hance.
Do they even like each other? That would be good.
Yeah.
Stephen, we're not going to talk about that. Kevin says, do you think that Malcolm won't play the idol next week so he can keep it as a souvenir? Why would anybody do this?
That would be ridiculous. Yeah, it's an expensive souvenir if you get voted out.
Expensive souvenir.
$15,000 souvenir.
Andy says, do you think Denise will turn on Malcolm at Final Four? He didn't pick her husband today. No, right?
I think Denise would turn on Malcolm at Final Four. I mean, Denise wants to win, right? Like, Denise is a smart enough person to know, like, Malcolm's a great ally, he's a great friend, but if it came to winning, why wouldn't she go against Malcolm? Or why would, it's like Earl with Yao Man, you know? Like, we don't dislike Earl because he voted out Yao Man. We dislike him for other reasons. No, we like Earl, but we don't dislike him because he voted out Yao Man.
I don't think that is in Denise's personality to do something like that. If she is the same person who 2 weeks ago said, hey, this isn't the season where we're going to vote out the good player. Although tonight she did, exactly the opposite of what she said she was going to do 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. Well, but she's like, hey, this. Yeah. It's like the coach paradox. It's easy to say we're all in this for strength until your money's on the line, and then everyone becomes a hypocrite. So I would imagine that Denise would turn on Malcolm.
Yeah, I don't think she will. I don't think she has that in her. I think she would want to go to the end with Malcolm. I don't think she will turn on her one ally throughout the game. Nick Fishman wants to know, has there been a season with more clutch moments than this one? I don't know what that means.
I kind of get it. It's like every season or every episode almost, there's been just like a real dramatic change in the power structure. And this episode alone, Malcolm was going to be voted out and he saved himself. You know, there was an episode where Penner was going to be voted out and he won immunity. You know, I think that may have been the same thing for Scoopin, right? Scoopin was going to be voted out and he won. I mean, everyone wins exactly when they need to win. And it's been pretty remarkable in that respect.
Yeah. Okay.
Abby, people are saying, of course.
Yeah. One last question. Give me Guillaume's question. Last one, and then we're going to wrap this up. Look at from Guillaume Schmidt, Jessica. I threw you off. I called out a question, and I don't think it's gone. He wanted to know. he wanted
like
to know.
To the field, I feel
yeah.
Like,
yeah. He wanted to know, is he, am I baggage? Which I thought was very funny. And it call, for those of you guys who watched The Bachelorette this season, that was a funny call out to Kalon. Silver Coyote said, didn't this season have a weak start, strong middle, and predictable weak ending? Did we jump the shark and now we're, on the way back down?
So Survivor typically like peaks in the middle, right? Like the merge is around the merge is typically the best part. I thought the season had a decently strong start with all the dynamics around the different, the three tribes. And I thought the merge bump lasted much longer than normal. It's
yes,
usually like two episodes
bump.
Of chaos. And here it was like four or five episodes.
So
let me
track Survivor. Okay. So good start. Then got great. Then we peaked. And now we're starting to come down. We'll see. We're not at the end yet. We could, have a good ending and then, and it's been a strong season. It went from it's been a tremendous season to a strong season.
Well, and I thought the way the Matt Singh thing played out didn't, typically like around episode five or six, it's just like so freaking boring. And I thought the way the Matt Singh thing played out was pretty good.
Got boring. They got dissolved Matt Singh, so that kind of nullified that, and that was good. So, good. It's been a very strong season, where it was looking like it could be a top five season. Maybe we're settled into a top 10 season here.
Yeah, I think that's right. With Token Cheens as number one and everything else.
Token Cheens, obviously, number one. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, so Steven, this was a good chat, good know-it-alls tonight. Tomorrow, gonna check in with Carter and hear what he has to say. And I'm gonna ask Carter point blank why he's got to play this game with his head, not with his heart. What is he thinking?
yes, that was a surprising final word. So it was great talking to you, Rob. Thanks very much. Had a great time as always, and peace out.
All right, don't turn off the whole show, okay?
I'll try not to.
All right.
Just kick me out.
All right, Stephen Fishback, everybody. Bye. All right, so last week we started our Tundra caption contest. We named our winner of the Richard Hatch Tundra caption contest. Tomorrow morning, I will have a new Tundra caption for you guys, a new picture of a survivor wearing a Tundra cap to be able to give us a new caption, and we'll give away another Tundra hat this week on Rob as a Podcast. So keep your eyes peeled for that, and be sure to check out robhasatundrahat.com. Tomorrow on the podcast, very excited for this, I'm going to be speaking with the one and only winner of Survivor the Amazon 10 years ago next week. She locked it all up. Jenna Marasco will be my guest on next week's, or I'm sorry, on this, I'm getting myself confused. On tomorrow's show, I will be speaking with Jenna Marasco, the winner of Survivor the Amazon. We'll talk to her about what she thinks about this season and what's been going on. And of course, we'll talk a little bit about the Survivor the Amazon commentary, which is available for pre-order only through Friday. Go to robaswebsite.com/commentary. You can listen to the first episode of the Amazon DVD commentary for free. And speaking of Amazon, a different kind of Amazon, it's December. You need to start taking care of that Christmas list of everybody in your life. You got to buy all these gifts. Make it easy on yourself. Go to Amazon. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. You get all the best prices, all the best deals on everything for Christmas, and you help support Rob Has a Podcast, and we appreciate it ever so much here as we go along. So fun know-it-alls tonight. Thanks so much to Stephen Fishback and Ian Terry, and of course to Jessica Frey for producing the hell out of this Spreecast. Very much appreciate it. I have to go feed Reyes because she's been running around like a lunatic the whole time in my peripheral vision, trying to get me to feed her because it is past the time when she eats, and she hates Survivor Know-It-Alls for that reason. So I will wrap this up tomorrow, talking to Carter, talking to Jenna Marasca. Check it all out, robhasawebsite.com. And if you're watching us live on Spreecast, hit the button up top. Follow us on Spreecast. Make sure you never miss an episode of Rob Has a Podcast Live. That's going to do it for us tonight. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye. The theme to Survivor Know-It-Alls was written and performed by the Fake Plastic Trees. To hear more of their music, go to fakeplastictrees.nl.